Market participants will watch developments at the Federal Reserve this week as if it's their own March Madness bracket. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The big money is betting that Federal Reserve policymakers will leave interest rates alone at their meetings this week. That still will be monitored by market participants as if it's the NCAA or something. This is because the Fed's accompanying statements may offer clues about the future. Susan Schmidt is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at the Westwood Group in Dallas. Good morning to you, Susan.
Good morning.
So the Fed's not going to do anything this week, I don't think, but you can't rule it out for 2016.
Oh my goodness, no. You can't rule it out at all. The Fed has to be nimble, and they're taking a lot of time to really look at all the data that's coming in. Wages, inflation, those are equally important numbers beyond job creation. It's not just that job creation number. And I think the market perception has moved where it was all doom and gloom a month ago. There's no way the Fed could raise. I think now the market perception has moved back and people are assuming that, well, probably not this week. At some point during the year, the Fed will raise rates again once, maybe even twice.
But what about the world economy? I mean, there's always concern about China's growth. I know the People's Congress has been meeting for over a week over in Beijing.
That's right. And they're wrapping up that meeting now. And I think part of the rally that we saw last week was as the People's Congress in China started their meeting, they immediately came out with statements discussing how they would, you know, support the yuan, so supporting the Chinese currency and support the economy, that they were, you know, determined that they were going to support for economic growth. And so that put quite a bit of comfort out there, and that resonates. China, as you know, resonates throughout the globe. Everyone is concerned about them because they're such a big economy. And when the People's National Congress came out and said, here we are, we're going to support, the yuan devaluation has been a huge destabilizing factor for our U.S. stock market over the past 6 months. So I think that was a sigh of relief for everyone.
All right, Susan Schmidt at Westwood Group in Dallas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The price of oil traded in New York is down more than 3% to $37.31 a barrel now. Iran is making it clear it'll pump more oil, not less, even as other oil-producing countries try to coordinate to curb production, to firm up prices. The BBC's Jonathan Frewin has more.
Iran is ramping up oil production in the wake of the nuclear deal in January, which saw the lifting of many sanctions imposed on the country. Russian Energy Minister Alexander Novak will discuss the issue when he meets with his Iranian counterpart, Bijan Zanghaneh, in Tehran today. But Mr. Zanghaneh told Iranian media in advance of the meeting that OPEC, quote, should leave us alone for the time being and that we will work with them once that production level is reached. Iranian oil production has not hit 4 million barrels a day since 2008, and according to Iran, it expects to hit 2 million barrels per day this month, though some observers estimate that Iranian oil production had already reached 3 million barrels a day earlier this year.
And from the annals of executive compensation, many corporate bosses get raises even as the company does poorly, but there's a twist today. According to government filings spotted by the Wall Street Journal, the restaurant chain Chipotle is tying the future pay of its CEO and other executives more closely to the company's share price, which has been down in the dumps after people were sickened by food at several Chipotle outlets in the past year. So the Fed, as we say, is likely to leave interest rates alone this week. Financial market turbulence and only tepid demand by consumers has led some forecasters to raise warning flags about a recession. While warnings are not the same as predictions, groups of economists surveyed recently put the chances of a recession this year at 1 in 5. That is double the risk they set 6 months ago. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, Mitchell Hartman reports.
When I want a calm and measured view on Wall Street, I go to this guy, David Blitzer, chairman of the Index Committee at Standard & Poor's.
It's been pretty wild.
Okay, that doesn't sound so measured. So I asked him, what are the biggest economic risks right now?
There's oil, China, there's the U.S. dollar, there's political anxiety. This expansion's getting old. This recovery never took off. We got too many villains, but none of them are really very big and nasty.
Not enough to cause a recession, anyway. Blitzer says most recessions are caused by the Fed, raising interest rates to fight inflation and slow an overheating economy.
This current era has virtually no inflation.
And the economy's not close to overheating. But maybe we're just due for a recession. The expansion is 6.5 years old, longer than most since World War II. Investment strategist William Delwich at Robert W. Baird & Company doesn't buy it.
The age of the recovery doesn't actually increase the chances of going into a recession. The single best indicator that a recession is on its way is initial jobless claims.
And those are near decade lows. Still, Blitzer says there's a sort of historical rule of recessions here, at least as far back as
December of 1854. None of them have ever gone on forever. So the chances that all of a sudden this one does are pretty slim.
And when it finally does show up, what kind of recession will it be? Well, most economists agree it'll be less like the Great Recession and more like the mild garden variety one we had back in 2001.
Unless it's some really bizarre event, it's not going to be as severe as 2007, 2009, probably 10 to 12 months, push the unemployment rate to something like 8%. Doesn't mean it'll be fun, but it's not that bad.
The most recent poll of economists pegs the next recession for 2018. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
And Marketplace has commissioned a series of polls this election year about levels of economic anxiety. And we're not finding what you might expect with all the jobs being added to payrolls. If you missed the polling data and the discussion on the air, it's at marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.